for me, this all comes back to really the beating heart of why I create meditations and what I believe the true power of meditation actually is. And that's to actually get to know oneself. I feel like I can be bold enough to say that that's our job in this world. Like, our job in this world is actually to get to know ourselves very, very well. Because when we do that, we then start designing a life that we create. We don't live into a template that somebody else has told us to live into, or that a prior version of ourselves has told us we have to continue doing. It has been a lifelong journey of practicing, learning to listen to that voice.
We believe that you are strong by design, and you were made in God's image to have a strong body, mind, and spirit. You're listening to the number one Strength and Health Authority podcast in the world. So let's get ready to unlock your potential and transform your life in today's episode.
Hi, and welcome back to the Strong by Design podcast. I'm your host today, Coach Tanya. Welcome. Today, I'm joined by a very, very amazing, powerful, spirited woman, Katie. I'm not going to attempt the last name because I know I'm going to say it wrong. It's Greek, correct?
It's Kremitzos, yes. Don't worry. It is misspoken a lot. It's not a big deal.
I would imagine. But Katie, I met Katie about a month ago. I think it was the Women in Business Expo. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, it was the, the Working Women.
Working Women Tampa Bay. She was one of the speakers, and I sat there in awe just watching this beautiful woman talk about her life and the things she's done. And I thought, I have got to get her on a podcast because she can really energize people. So Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. You're so sweet. I really appreciate it, Tanya. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to have you. And I know your schedule is really crazy, so I'm so glad you have time. And
of course,
a little bit, just a quick background for our listeners. So you are the creator. Not you're of many things, but what we're kind of talking about today is how you are the creator of the Women's Meditation Network. And it's a collection of 17 guided meditation podcasts, helps the listeners use the tool of meditation to know themselves and to consciously create lives they love. You're a writer at heart, and that's where we connect, because that's me too. Writer at heart, the soft spot for animals, and adores her Greek husband. You also have two beautiful children that you're raising as well. So you have a lot of things on your plate, and you do them fabulously, looking no more than like a day over 27, I swear.
I am grateful for every line that I have on my face. I've earned every single one.
Right. Well, I'm just so pleased to have you on the show and to share with our audience all that you do, all that you're doing, and how you got there. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So, oh my goodness, where in the world do I start?
Greek last name?
Believe it or not, my maiden name is a lot harder to pronounce than this one. I'm a German American mutt, four or five generations in, but I was raised in the Southwest, desert of Arizona, right on the border of Mexico. One of six kids, and in a really, really tiny small town. And so with very, very good parents, like humans who were meant to be parents in this world. So we have a really tight-knit family. But being one of six and being number four in that lineup definitely sort of instilled this middle child. How do I stand out? How do I make sure to get the attention I need, right? And so for me, I feel it's taken many, many therapy sessions for me to really identify, like, that's always been being an overachiever, being somebody who can go after, and stand out in that way. That was sort of my way of being the star athlete, like all those things were sort of my way of getting attention. In recent years, or, as I've grown into adulthood, I'm 44 now, so I've been able to extrapolate the probably the not so great parts of that and been able to actually lean into the skill sets that has instilled in me. And so I began podcasting, 2014. And I did it because I had, at that time, I had been in business with my husband, my now husband, for a few years within the entrepreneurial space here within the Tampa Bay area. We actually had an organization called the Tampa Bay Business Owners. And through that experience, I fell in love with entrepreneurship. And I was like, whoa, this thing called entrepreneurship is this amazing vehicle to kind of like carve out a life that you really love and to do meaningful work and to get paid for that work and to impact people. And so the podcast that I started with back in 2014 was called Biz Women Rock. And I, as a female entrepreneur, interviewed other female entrepreneurs and just talking like this, like about their journeys, what they've done, what is it that's so special and unique about the business that they have created? What decisions have they made along the way? What ups and downs? How did they completely mess up and blow things up? And just, you know, really wanting to get to the heart of their journeys. And through that experience, through that podcast, I ended up really building this incredible community of business women all over the world. It built out a really successful business for me. And, you know, I was advising and guiding women in growing their companies very meaningfully. I was a strategist and coach for that. I was providing masterminds. I was doing courses, live events, retreats, you know, memberships, you name it. I had it. And it was wonderful. I had my first daughter during that time, which allowed me to get a lot more, you know, focused on exactly what I was doing. And it felt really good. And then in 2018, at the beginning of 2018, we found out we were pregnant with our second daughter. And just like on a whim, like all of a sudden I was like, I don't want it anymore. I'm done. That's really like what the intuition sort of like whispered pretty darn loudly in my ear, which was a very, very scary whisper. Because by that point, that was a very profitable business. It was kind of like, it was a lifestyle business for me. Like not only, you know, publicly was I sort of known and felt responsible for sort of being the leader of this community, but, you know, for our own personal household, it was like, you know, it was feeding our household. So to make a very long story short, within that time, you know, there was like in the space of about 2 months, I really spent a lot of time inward, really meditating on or going on walks or journaling about like, okay, if this isn't it, what is it? Like, if this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing, what is it? Or are these just limiting beliefs that I'm having? Or is this just, am I trying to self-sabotage myself? Like, what really is going on here? And so in that time, I just really ended up getting clear on, no, I'm done. I'm done here. I know I am. So what's next? And I had had this idea about a meditation podcast for women. Obviously, I'd been in the podcasting arena, so I was pretty well versed on what was or wasn't there. And in 2018, there was one other podcast that existed that had the word women and meditation in it. And I was like, I can't believe nothing else is here. Like, I have something to contribute here. And I think that there are a lot of women out there looking for it. It's just not here. So I launched my very first show, my very first podcast called Meditation for Women. I still kept my old business, my old podcast. I was still seeing clients. So probably for like a year and a half, I have this time period where I was managing, you know, I eventually had my baby, my second baby. So I was managing like two podcasts, two businesses, two kids, all in sort of this year and a half span, you know, slowly sort of like pulling back on the business podcast and that business, getting, you know, smaller and smaller as far as what I was offering and the clients I was working with, and ramping up the meditation podcast. So you know, then fast forward, here we are. My daughter, who I was pregnant with, is about to turn 5, and the company just turned 5. And we now have 17 podcasts, as you stated earlier. Yeah. And we reach millions of women every single month, and it's incredibly satisfying. And it's been really fun, like living into that intuitive whisper of,
right,
nope, you need to change directions. So
love it. So what I really like about everything that you just said, I mean, I like everything about what you just said, but one thing that really sticks out for me was when you talk about how you knew, like you knew that you were done with that, but getting clear on no. I love that statement because I think for a lot of, I can only speak as a woman because I'm not a man. I don't know how men think. I don't, you know, well, that's another podcast, but I think as a woman, or a woman who is, you know, entrepreneurial driven, who's also very creative, I think with women, we spend so much time, we invest a lot of ourselves in nurturing, caring for others and building them up. And we kind of have this, because when you're a mother, you're doing it all. Like if you're a mom, you're not just a mom, you're doing all the things. And that means not just all the things in the house. If you're working, you know, you're volunteering at the schools.
You're the CEO of the family.
You're doing all this stuff. And then if something happens to the neighbor, well, you're taking care of the neighbor, or something happens. We're doing all the things. So that I love that getting clear on no, because I think for women, A, it's really hard to say no. And B, I think we do try, like you had that year and a half where you were in duels, two kids, two businesses, two different podcasts, doing it, but pulling back because you were able to get clear on the no and focus where you're going. And I think for women that we struggle with that a lot because A, saying no is hard. We don't like it because we feel guilt and shame for it. But at the same time, it really, I think, gets in the way of some of the reason, like why we're here. Like what is our calling? And you can't really become clear on your calling if you can't become clear on no. So talk about that getting clear on no, because I think that's something that doesn't get talked about enough.
Yeah. Obviously, to me, this is sort of the yin and yang of getting clarity on no and getting clarity on yes. And having, and deliberately doing the work to ungray it, you know, to actually have distinctions between this is a yes, this is a no. If there's gray, where is that? And do I need to keep digging that out? You know, for me, this all comes back to really the beating heart of why I create meditations and what I believe the true power of meditation actually is. And that's to actually get to know oneself. I actually really, I feel like I can be bold enough to say that that's our job in this world. Like our job in this world is actually to get to know ourselves very, very well. Because when we do that, we then start designing a life that we create, right? We don't live into a template that somebody else has told us to live into or that a prior version of ourselves has told us we have to continue doing. So, you know, for me, it has been a lifelong journey of practicing, learning to listen to that voice. And I don't think I shared this with you at the event, but I have this beautiful little story of when I was 18 years old that, again, one of six kids, overachiever, right? I grew up in Arizona. So I was all academic, right? So I got an academic scholarship, full ride scholarship to Arizona State University. So it would 100% pay for my entire like tuition for as long as it took me to graduate, as long as I maintained a certain GPA and a certain amount of classes, right? In addition to that, I got a crap ton. Like I was very proactive about getting a lot of other scholarships so that I could, you know, like not have to worry about making money during college. A couple, like 2 months into my freshman year, I was always an athlete and kind of my bigger sport was softball. And 2 months into school, I was like, I still really want to play softball. Like that voice is here, right? I still really want to play softball. And after kind of sitting with it for a while, I was like, God, that voice is loud. How can I go play softball? So I tried out for Arizona State's team. And they were having walk-on tryouts at that time. And I made the cut until I didn't make the last cut. And it devastated me. I was so sad. And I was like, ah. And I felt inside this like sinking feeling of like, I still have something in me here. I still want to do something here. And so I just got, you know, I'm a very resourceful person. I'm always asking how. Like, I don't see the closed doors. I'm just asking like, well, how, if this is what I want, how? How do I get that? So I did some research and found out that I could go try and walk on to one of the community colleges, you know, 10 minutes away. So I did that. I made the team at Mesa Community College and I was so ecstatic, except for this minor detail called, well, in order to be eligible to play over there, I had to be a full-time student there, right? Take 12 credits. And guess what? In order to maintain my scholarships at Arizona State, I had to be a full-time student. And I'm like, 24 credits plus being a student athlete? Like, I don't think that that's wise. So I remember getting on the phone with my mom and dad and, you know, kind of giving all the pros and cons of, at 18 years old, what's a pretty big life decision, well, right?
Decision. That's a big undertaking.
And my parents, to their credit, who are amazing, did not tell me what to do.
No.
They told me, follow your heart, do what you love, everything always works out. And so I was forced. I mean, this was not a new thing for me. I mean, they raised me to be this person, to actually like make decisions on my own and have the consequences of those decisions and benefits of those decisions. So here I was at 18, literally looking at probably what would equate to a, like $100,000, $150,000, you know, amounts of money for free college. And Katie gets to go play softball still, right? And I chose softball. I chose to completely give up my the money, the scholarship. And I said, I still have something in me here. I will regret it if I don't try. And so I did that. And, you know, my goal was really to then become a professional softball player. That was, you know, a thing that was definitely something in my sights. So you go to community college, then you transfer to, you know, state college, and then you can like go try out for pro. And I was like on that path. And then 2 years into it, I'm kind of coming to the conclusion of my community college days. I'm completely burnt out. I'm done. Right? Like, I'm just done with softball. I don't ever want to pick up a softball again. I've done it. I've lived that. I kind of like scratched that itch. And you would think that that would have made that decision, that prior decision, a failure, right? Like, oh, I didn't choose the right path. But actually, now where I was is I was at a new place further down the path with new information on, okay, well, now what? Well, I want to go back to Arizona State full time. How do I do that? So I ended up becoming an RA, a resident assistant. So, you know, they basically paid for everything except for tuition. And so I was working a waitress job to like go and make tuition. That wasn't a big deal, but like my room and board was paid for. So I guess my reason of telling that story is that from a very early age, I have exercised that muscle of not only listening for that voice or listening for my intuition or what my gut is telling me, but I have exercised taking action on it and allowed it to not be a black and white decision. Like, I've allowed it to be like, okay, let's try. Like, I am here with my best guess, thinking that I'm feeling like this is really what I'm supposed to do. And guess what? If it all goes to like, it's okay. I'm going to be okay. And I can always make, I'll be somewhere else. I can make a new decision. So that was 18. You fast forward to, how old was I? I was 39 years old because I had my baby just before I was 40. So like, I was 39 years old when the kind of this moment came where I was like, I don't want this business anymore, right? What should I now do? So I had a lot of practice. That muscle was pretty darn strong. Like, I could, my hearing was very good. I could hear that voice. And, you know, to come back around to answer your question, listening to that voice is what gave me, and doing practical things to exercise, meaning like to sift through what the details of that decision would be, was actually what helped me see that yin and yang of the yeses and the noes, right? So journaling it out, what's the worst that can happen? What's the best that could happen? Walking it out with my husband and hearing myself talk out all the scenarios, meditating and being able to kind of like sit in the stillness and just like allow the thoughts to not be the ones telling the story. So all of this, all of these tools are there and available for all of us to really just get clear about who we are, what we want in any given moment of our lives. And then your job is to exercise that muscle of taking action on what you hear and trust that intuition, and that there's no such thing called failure, actually. Like, there's nothing you could do that would actually, like unless you're going to die. Like, I can't imagine, like, even in the worst case scenario, and I would go there. I would go like, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? I totally make a fool out of myself. I mean, no one knew me for meditation. People didn't even know I meditated until I started this podcast. They're like, you meditate? You know, I don't have credentials as a guru of meditation. Like, and so like, I literally was like, what is the worst that can happen? I'll fall flat on my face. I'll embarrass myself like crazy. I'll have spent a ton of money and a lot of time and, you know. But I was like, and I would still be okay. I would still be okay. So, you know, and to the best of my ability, that's that answer of how do you know those no's and how do you know those yeses? And I just feel like when you know, when you're clear on at least some of them or the big ones, you've got to take a stand for yourself and your own life. And, you know, I know we're caregivers, but caregiving doesn't work if we don't work. So like, it ultimately has to come from taking care of ourselves, listening to ourselves, creating a life that is ideal for us. Because when we do that, everyone else benefits. Everyone.
Right. I love that. Just hearing that. Because I think a lot of women, a lot of people, but a lot of women need to hear that. I love the whole, like, not looking at things like a failure, because I always tend to think like not doing it, like not listening to that voice, not going for it, being more the failure, because then you've always got the what if, well, what if I had, you know, And there's plenty of things there's plenty of things that we do that don't work out, but we're still here. We are still okay. And sometimes I think you have to do the things that don't work out because they're part of getting you to, it's part of that exercise. Like if you have it, like you were very blessed in like your parents did not answer the question for you. And so you had to start exercising that muscle very early on. Not everybody gets that. So if we're in our 30s, 40s, and now we're trying to hear that voice and trying to get clarity, but we haven't really exercised that muscle, we might have to hit a couple walls that wasn't the right doorway, but what about this one? And to start exercising. And I don't think it's ever too late, but I think it's necessary, again, to cultivate that life you're meant to be living.
Yeah. And then, shocker, I'm going to break the end of the story for you. You will hit walls. You will still, I don't care how well you know yourself. I can give you specific experiences from just these past 5 years where I've made stupid decisions out of ego, like where my intuition absolutely was like, hell no. And I've still said yes. So we're going to continue to do it, right? Like that's the journey of being a human and learning about ourselves. But I'll tell you one thing, I will not make that decision again based out of ego. Like I will learn my lesson. So, the failures, what does Michael Jordan say? I happened to see this quote. It's an old quote, but he said, like, I have failed over and over and over again, and that's why I succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those, our left brain listeners, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. It's like selling houses. There are going to be so many no's, no's, no's. Eventually, if you keep at it, you're going to get a yes. So if you're more of an analytical thinker, hitting the walls, it's a numbers game because eventually you push the right door and it opens and there it is, So with your podcasts, how many of them focus kind of on, are they all focused on this kind of thing or are they very diverse?
They're very diverse. Yeah, they're very diverse. So we have, they are very obvious on what they are according to the title. So we have the original Meditation for Women. You get a little bit of everything there. Sleep Meditation for Women. Obviously, you get sleep meditations. Morning Meditation for Women. We do a daily meditation. They're weekly themes, of like forgiveness or gratitude and so we're giving you all the meditations daily that are like, 5 to 7 minutes long to start your day with a theme that you can sort of think about and like be impacted by. Daily affirmations. Those are, one affirmation per day with some time to meditate on it. Sleep stories, obvious. We have a panic attack meditation. I'm very, very proud of that one. And that's for those incredibly intense, anxious, stressful moments that we can help kind of like get you off the ledge, walk you down, like really calm you down during those moments. Meditation for anxiety, one of our, sadly, but also I'm very proud that it's one of our bigger growing meditations right now because so many of us are feeling the impacts of anxiety. And so, those are available there. We have a whole sounds library of meditations. So water, nature sounds, ambient sounds, sleep sounds. And then our more recent ones, we have meditation for moms, which, run the gamut of no matter where you are in your motherhood journey. And then our more recent ones that I'm super proud of is meditation for kids and sleep meditation for kids. So, and because, these meditations that I've created, a lot of them have been created to share with my girls. We listen to meditation every night. So, I've oftentimes wanted to share kind of a, something special with them or a really beautiful guided visualization or just like a really beautiful, like something I wanted to tell them, and I wanted to do it in a really poetic and special way. So, yeah, there's a lot of those there.
Do you write all of the meditations yourself?
Most of them. So up until about a year ago, yes, I wrote every single one for every single show and voiced every single one. But last year we have been really blessed to partner with some really great guides. And so daily affirmations. We have a special guide, Jody Agard, who writes and records them. She's the guide who takes you through them. She's phenomenal. And then I have the healing meditation for women is guided by Tina Conroy, a very good friend of mine, medium, intuitive. And so she's giving a lot of really specialized kind of spiritual, Reiki type of meditations there as well. She writes and creates them herself. Obviously, kind of all delivered and published through the Women's Meditation Network. And then I do have a writer. So even though I am voicing, I have a writer for a couple of the other ones who, you know, can kind of add their special, you know, voice and mix and beauty to the words there as well.
So when you sit down to write a meditation, like, do you have a time block? Is it something that just hits you and it's like, okay, everything's got to stop. I got to write right now. Like, what does that process look like when you are going to write meditation?
That's a good question. All of the above. it's been a little bit of everything, but typically these days what it looks like is I kind of get an idea for meditation. If I can write it then and there, I will. Because I understand it's sort of like this force that is coming right now and I better come down and like get it. But kind of half of the time, what I'll do is I'll just text it to myself. That's my process. Rather than kind of keep a note, I just kind of text it to myself. Like what the titles come to me. Like, here's the title, kind of the topic, right? And then I typically have, you know, times during the week or like days chunked out that are just writing days so that I'm not worried about anything admin and I can just kind of slowly, you know, kind of trudge through the writing process and I just sit down. Sometimes if I'm not feeling it, I won't force myself to do it. I'll stop it and be like, okay, we're going to have a writing day tomorrow. But most of the time, like I kind of know my patterns well enough to be like, okay, I'll be ready for kind of a more creative day. And I just sort of can pour a bunch of stuff out. So I'm very much a batch worker. I like working very efficiently. So like I can sit down and write like 5 meditations at once or 10, depending on what kind of meditations they are. And then I'll sort of like write a ton. And then during a part of the month, we work on a monthly cycle. So sort of like by every day of the month, I need to have all, you know, those recorded and sent to my producer. So, you know, usually in that week is then what everything will have been written already. And then I just need to sit down and just record and just show up to the mic. And I'm recording 4, 10, 20, 30 at a time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you made the decision and you did that first meditation, did you already have a kind of a vision like what the next year or 6 months, or was it like you did that one and it just sort of was like water just flowed and found its level and it sort of just happened?
No, it did not just happen. I was very clear about what it was. Which was different. My business before then, I wasn't really clear. Like I did the latter. I just sort of like finagled my way into like, what was this? Right. So I don't think that there's a right or wrong way to do it. But it just so happens that with the Women's Meditation Network, when I was in that time period of like really breathing life into what this thing could be, I got really clear right away that this was a network. This was definitely more than one show. There was such an opening. There was such a need. I was like, and I can't like, people see women as a niche. I'm like, oh no, there's so many more sub niches here that women will really respond to. So, I mean, I have notes from like my initial brain dump that had like 30 shows that I had brainstormed at that time. Some of them we've done and some of them, you know, we haven't done, but I knew it was a network. I knew it was big. I knew it was a media company. Like I knew that was the business model. It was not about me doing interviews anymore. It was not about me building a consulting or a coaching practice. It was about me writing, sitting in the closet, recording, and which was what I wanted because I wanted a lifestyle that could deal with my, you know, newborn and toddler. And I wanted something I could do during nap times and after they went to bed. And it didn't rely on me having to be anywhere at any given time. So I was very clear on those two things.
Excellent. I was going to add, I have a question here. So of your podcasts, like which ones do you know or do you guess are, let's say, your top 3 to 5?
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm a statistics junkie with my stuff. My top 3 podcasts in order are Sleep Meditation for Women, Morning Meditation for Women, and then Meditation for Women, the original. Those are by far my top 3 podcasts. If you bundle kind of groups together, my sleep podcast, we have 5 different podcasts just dedicated to sleep. Sleep Meditation for Kids, Sleep Meditation for Women, Sleep Stories, Sleep Sounds, one called literally Just Sleep that we could put a little bit of everything into. That accounts for 50%. Those 5 account for 50% of my listenership every month, of my downloads every single month. So by far, that is, you know, the biggest audience that I have and need, obviously, that I have.
Wow. Now, I find it, I'm not surprised at all to hear that sleep is like in the top, because that's, I mean, I think sleep is is something that a lot of us lack, especially, you know, today, like in our life today. I mean, we've got all of these amazing tools and technology that make a lot of things easier. But because of that, my mindset is that, well, because we have the ease of being able to do things so quickly and do so much, we take on more. So as opposed to having the freed up time, because we've got technology to make things work quickly for us, it's like, oh, I can, now that I, you know, this four hour project now is only taking me an hour and a half, so now I can do like six projects. So
right,
like
fun math there.
One thing in bearing ourselves. So I'm not surprised at all that sleep is a big one. And I know for myself, it's really hard to you get into bed at night sometimes and exhausted, like completely, like not really sure how I got up the stairs into bed, but now I'm in bed and thwing, wide awake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very frustrating. Very frustrating. Yeah. So what is one thing, and if I'm sure there's lots we could talk about, but what is one big thing that you think in like your experience working with women and then these meditations that you're writing, what is one thing that women aren't doing for themselves?
In my experience with, I'm hesitating because I want to tell you what I think, like what I think you're looking for, but I'm not too sure if that's it. In my experience with the Biz Women Rock community, the old business podcast that I had, I was very intimate with my community. Like I was meeting them one-on-one. I knew who they were. I knew their families. And so, you know, I could absolutely say what we weren't doing was putting ourselves as always the number one priority. And that's a pretty standard answer, I think. And I'm questioning whether that's true now. And part of me wants to say whether that may not be, because the fact that women are listening actually tells me the exact opposite, that they are coming for this. They are taking care of themselves. They are reaching out and trying to find resources that can help them set up their day or go to bed at night or get clarity on something that they're really confused about. So, so I would say, you know, I would say it perhaps might be more akin to maybe that we're in this particular season, we're a little bit more afraid to make decisions that are 100% based on what our intuition knows. And instead we carry the responsibility, all this luggage of responsibility, you know, of what we perceive to be as so important in life, that we're not willing to just throw it all away and make decisions that are 100% good for us. Now, I say that and anyone listening could be like, oh, well, I have kids to consider and I have, you know, spouses to consider and jobs and money to consider. And yes, all those things are very real. And I am such an advocate for a woman just unabashedly, unapologetically carving her own way. And I don't think that we naturally would do that with the exclusion of deliberately hurting other people and, you know, having other people suffer. I really do believe that when we unapologetically go towards the direction of our dreams, everyone benefits, because that's what women do. We bring everyone along with us, right? So I would think that that's kind of the answer that I have now based on the listeners that I do have, is that they want more of that, kind of that courage to in the ability to release themselves from these perceived, you know, anchors, you know. And if we could as a whole just see that actually those aren't anchors, they're all unreal. Like we've just created that in our head. What's the best decision for you? What do you want? And like, just go.
Yeah. Like, absolutely. I love that. And I tend to agree. I tend to agree with that 100%. What do you hope for? What's your mission? Like, what do you want this podcast to do for women? What's the vision? What's the mission with it that you're wanting it to address, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, you can probably hear me weaving it throughout. Like, the mission 100% is that, yes, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to deliver these benefits of meditation, these psychological, mental, physical benefits of meditation, right? Which are, you know, less stress, you know, getting better clarity and making better decisions, getting better sleep. Like, there's all these very
statistical things that I could throw at you and say, you should meditate. Here's why. Here's what you're going to get on the other end of these meditations. And that's good. And I'm going to deliver that. But what really is the beating heart behind why I do what I do is because I want women to use these as a tool to get to know themselves really well. And I want them to be encouraged to create lives that they really love, that are 100% created by them. And I really believe that when we do that on a mass scale, and this is why I'm just so passionate and so grateful that we've grown to the amount of listenership that we have and continue to grow, because I really believe that the more women who are doing that, the more women who are shutting out others' expectations of them, they're shutting out their own kind of like past expectations of themselves. They're choosing not to live into the template that life has sort of handed to them. I think the more women we have on the, in this world who really choose to live, for lack of a very overused word, but authentically, to completely unafraid, to and simultaneously afraid, but very bravely walking their own path, everyone benefits. Their kids benefit because they see mom actually doing what's best for her and it gets modeled. And guess what? Then my daughters do that for themselves because they don't know any, they don't know what it means to bend for others' whim. They know what it means to make decisions based on your intuition and what's right for you. And they see that in me every day. So guess what? I'm creating a generation of girls who are going to do that. And that's their natural default. So our kids benefit, our spouses and our loved ones benefit because we are doing things that light us up. And we are so much more fun to be around when we are lit up, right? We're doing it for, like, our mental health as a as an entire society benefits, because now we're not just droning and clocking in at a job because we've told ourselves we just need the money. Like, none of that stuff is even on the table. Like, no, we're actually lit up doing what we want to do, and we feel a light, we feel alive because of it. And ultimately, our souls are nourished, refreshed, loving this world, loving life. We make decisions out of happiness and love rather than anxious, like anxiety and fear. Like, to me, this raises the whole consciousness level of the entire world, one woman at a time.
I love that. I love that. That's a very powerful statement. And it's a very powerful energy. Like, when it comes, when it comes together, it's a very powerful energy. What is something that you've learned about yourself in writing and doing these podcasts since you started the Women's Meditation Network?
I have had a lot of fun evolving as a writer. I'm definitely a lot more of a stronger writer now than I was 5 years ago. I read back some of those scripts that I wrote and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm embarrassed by that one. So I feel like I've become a better communicator of universal messages. I actually feel like that's one of the gifts that I bring and I've sort of discovered about myself is I, you know, so many of the vast majority of these meditations I've written all come from my own experience, right? Like, if you look, you could probably see the trajectory of my life in any given moment. And so, but what I feel like I have learned to do very well is I can sort of like translate that into a universal message that anyone listening could be like, yes, I've been there. Yes. I can't tell you how often I've gotten the feedback. Like, I felt like you were talking to me. I've felt that before. I didn't know anyone else felt like that. I feel less alone when I'm listening to you. So I feel like I've learned about myself as a writer, as a communicator, as somebody who can string words together that and sort of like encase it in this very beautiful musical experience that allows it to be delivered to the soul, just like a song does, really. Like, I really equate what I do to songs, like singer-songwriters. Like, you know, they're creating poetry that they're, you know, adding this beautiful melody to, and it sits on your soul. Like, you remember when you hear those words that wow. sing to you, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like I've learned a lot about myself there as a creative and constantly getting better as a creative. And I definitely have learned a lot about running a business and running this type of a business. And to me, that's a very creative endeavor too. I'm grateful I have this very interesting kind of mix of super creative, intuitive, and like hardcore numbers driven businesswoman. And they have seemed to, and you know, I'm an operator, I like organization, I like processes. And so both of those gifts have sort of come together here in a really beautiful dance that has benefited the brand really, really well. So I've just continued to learn that, like how to tweak those gifts and how to then recognize what I'm not good at and how to actually really give it away, even though we hear that all the time. But like, this is the practice of actually saying, actually, I kind of suck at this. So I need somebody who can be better. And then how do I manage that? So, I mean, there's been innumerable lessons, honestly, but it's taught me a lot about myself and, you know, who I really am, who I want to be in this world. It's made me even more committed to build a life that's mine. That's, you know, not what anyone else's version of success is, but it's mine. And I get to determine every step of the way what cobblestones I'm putting in. And you know, the business itself has taught me in conjunction with all that, what kind of mother I really want to be. You know, I'm sure many of our listeners, if you're a working mom, like you feel that pull of like, you know, if my gas pedal's on one, it can't be on the other and vice versa. And I have really done a lot of work about completely dismantling that dichotomy and not allowing that to be my truth and really then, you know, constructing a lifestyle that actually gives me the opportunity to be my best in all the arenas that are important to me. And I can go on my daughter's field trip yesterday and not work a lick and then go away for a couple of hours last night and just like get the right work done. And, you know, I feel like I don't need to give up anything in order to live big into all of the dreams that I have.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, that is really, really awesome. And I mean, that energy comes through, and for our listeners, I'm sure that they can feel that. And, you know, just having the podcast with you is having an impact. And I'm so grateful for your time and your words.
Thank you.
And I know for one, when I go to bed tonight, I'm putting in that sleep meditation.
Please, girl. I got you covered.
I put that in. What's next for Katie?
Good question. What's next, what's really on the horizon is very intentional, strategic growth. You know, obviously, like I'm always in growth mode. I always want to grow. And as this year ends and next year begins, you know, it's really about being very wise about how I can get in front of more women who need kind of the mind medicine that I have. And so it's about creating the correct partnerships, creating the best relationships, so that more and more women around the world can really get to know me. So, you know, that can look like a lot of things. It can look like more podcasts. It can look like, you know, really sub-niching into groups where I feel like there's great need and that, you know, women will really respond and find me there. But it's doing it very intentionally and very focused.
Love it. Well, yeah. I have no doubt that we're going to see a lot of you, and you're going to be, you know, making these huge, impressive, impactful, positive waves that are just going to help women find their clarity, find their voice, and open those doors and not be afraid, you know, or like living fearlessly, less afraid that when you open a door, if it's a wall, okay, well, there's lots of doors and they all don't have a wall behind them. So
right.
I applaud you for really giving women permission to step in front of those doors and push them open. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you so much for being on the show. Now, just we're going to include this in the show notes. So if you happen to be driving or you're busy in the kitchen and you know you can't write this down, just check the show notes. But Katie, since I still have you on here, where can we find you?
Yeah. So if you're listening to this on your podcast player, whatever one that is, just go and search for Women's Meditation Network, and you'll see all of our podcasts there. You can go subscribe. That's probably the easiest way to do it. Or you can always go to womensmeditationnetwork.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, Katie. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. I do want to have you back because I know you're going to keep cranking out more meditations and we're going to need to talk about that, like, all the things that you're doing and all the goals that you're crushing. Mad respect for you. Mad respect.
Thanks, Tanya. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And thank you for joining us today. I'm sure you got a whole lot out of this podcast, just as I did. Don't forget to give us a 5-star review. Till next time, I'm Coach Tanya. We'll talk soon. Take care, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strong by Design podcast. If you found value in today's episode,
Please subscribe so that more people can find out about our show. Plus, you don't want to miss any future episodes with the amazing guests and topics we have lined up for you.